Let us turn again to the passage of God's word that we read together, to Genesis chapter 28, and let us read again verse 3. Genesis 28, at verse 3. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. And God Almighty bless thee. Let us try to consider these words in particular this evening, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. And we have read a part of the context of these words. It follows on from a train of providences that go significantly further back than we read, when Isaac was about to bless Esau, when he sent Esau to get the kind of meat that he particularly liked and to prepare a meal from it, when Rebekah heard what was afoot and he was thinking of Jacob rather than Esau, and wished Jacob to get the blessing rather than Esau, and went in a deceitful way to bring that about. Now, Esau, he was thoroughly disappointed. And who can blame him for being disappointed? But he tried to persuade his father to reverse what he had done. Now, Esau did get a blessing, but we might say he did not get the blessing. And although one would say that it was absolutely understandable that Esau would be disappointed, yet it was totally wrong for him to think of revenging himself and Jacob by taking away his life. He had enough respect for his father that he wouldn't do it while he was alive. But precautions were taken, and Jacob was sent away to Paddan Aram, where his mother's people were. And before he left, Isaac called Jacob and blessed him. And part of the blessing was in these words: God Almighty bless thee. God Almighty bless thee. And how much is contained in that. And especially when we think of the way that God Almighty, the way that God is described here, the particular name that is given to him, as John Bunyan was to use that name for God in the Holy War, El Shaddai, God Almighty. Well, if we are seeking a blessing as we ought to be seeking a blessing and seeking a blessing from God, there are many ways that we can think of God. Not that these ways will become contradictory, but rather that they will complement one another. But here is one way of thinking of God: that he is almighty, that he is infinitely powerful. And whatever he wills to do, he can do it. There is no limit in his power. And we are to receive that. We are to think of him in that way. We are to come before him in the light of this in particular. There's many an aspect in which God reveals himself. And clearly, we are to make use of them all in one way or another, and in one set of circumstances and another. But here, clearly was something that was particularly relevant to Jacob. God Almighty bless thee. And without going into it just now, it was no doubt in the light of that, the way that Isaac craved a blessing, that the Lord, that God Almighty met with Jacob at Bethel, what he was to call Bethel. The name was Luz at first. But you see, we can also say that it was in the providence of God that this blessing was given. May God Almighty bless thee. That was in the providence of God. That was a step in bringing about what God did by way of blessing. And in that way, we should consider what the Lord does in causing his people to pray, bringing sinners to pray. It's part of his providence. It's part of the outworking of his providence that he brings people to pray for themselves and others. Now, God Almighty could give the blessing. God Almighty could supply what is his purpose to give without the prayer. And he may do that. That is the verse I am found of those that sought me not. But this is this usual way of work, that there would be prayer. And he is pleased to answer prayer. And if the prayer comes from himself, surely he will answer it. But let us notice three matters just now. And the first is our need of blessing. Just as Jacob had a need that he would be blessed. Blessed by God Almighty. And in a secondary way that Isaac would pray for this blessing. So we need a blessing from God. Then in the second place, let us notice that Almighty power is necessary for any real blessing. It's Almighty power, divine power, that will bring it about. God's Almighty power. And then finally, and more briefly, let us ask who have been so blessed. Who among us in particular have been blessed by God Almighty? First then, our need of blessing, and more particularly this matter about God is God Almighty giving a blessing. And then in the third place, to try to answer the question, who have been so blessed? Well, then the first thing is our need of blessing. And Jacob had a need of blessing. One would take it that Jacob had not obtained mercy at this stage. And he needs that blessing. And we all need that blessing. That we would get a blessing from God, a blessing from God Almighty. That we, as sinners, would be blessed with spiritual blessings. That we would be blessed with a new heart. That we would be blessed with grace from above. That we would be blessed with the saving work of the Holy Spirit. That we would be blessed with the forgiveness of sins. And one could go on and on. Divide these ideas up in various ways. We need these blessings, and we need one who can give these blessings. one who has the right to give these blessings, one who has the power to give such blessings. And apart from that, we are under the curse. Now that's a serious matter. If we are right in saying that Jacob was still unconverted at this stage, he was under God's curse. He was under the curse of God Almighty. And that's a fearful place to be. Oh, let us take that to heart ourselves. That if we are still unconverted, if we're not looking to Christ, then we are under the curse of Almighty God, the one who has no restriction on his power. The one who has no restriction on his power. What a great matter that is. What a serious matter that is, perhaps would be a better way of putting it. Are we convinced of that? The seriousness of being under the curse. And the curse of God Almighty at that. How we should take that to heart and plead with the Lord for a blessing. The curse that goes on through this world and on into a lost eternity unless we turn, unless we seek the blessing of God Almighty and seek the saving work of God Almighty. Yes. You see, that's the serious position that we are in this world, apart from the saving work of God Almighty. May we take that to ourselves. May God Almighty impress that truth upon our souls and give us grace so that we would seek Him. So there's the curse. And before I move on to another point, let us notice the way that Paul expressed it to the Galatians. Galatians 3:10, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. Cursed is everyone. Not keeping the law of God perfect. And you might say, does that not include the people of God? They're not keeping the law of God perfectly. Of course not. But there's this, that they have a substitute. Christ Jesus, God Almighty who took human nature, Christ Jesus is their substitute. He was not only their substitute in Calvary and suffering unto death, but he was their substitute in keeping the law perfectly on their behalf. There he was, going about doing good, obedient to the law of God. And one could enlarge on that to quite an extent. But I'm just wanting to express it generally and to point to Christ. When he was going about, there was his obedience. He came under the law on behalf of those who would be his people. He came under the law to keep the law in that place. Yes. But you see, we need that blessing. We need to be looking to Christ, that we might have that blessing, the blessing of being delivered from the curse of a broken law, and not only our breaking of that law, but Adam's first transgression, the guilt of Adam's first transgression, the guilt of Adam's failure to keep the law perfectly. Yes, and those who are under the curse and on their way along the broad way, and that leads to destruction. Yes, wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereon. Many. That's what we're being told. Many he go in thereat, in by that broad gate that leads along that broad way. If there's any variety of ways in which people under the curse will go to a lost eternity. How solemn. See, we need the blessing. We need the blessing of God. And may we be pleading with how serious our position is if we refer to Jeremiah 17, where he says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know the seriousness of our position? That's it. Who can know it? God knows it, but that's not the area in which the question is asked. God is outside of that circle, so to speak. Who can know it? Who among human beings can know it? Who can understand it? It is so serious. The spiritual condition of human beings is so far gone. They've each got a heart that is deceitful and desperately wicked. They need to be delivered from that. They need to be delivered from that curse. They need the blessing of God Almighty. That's what the Bible is telling us. And we might go further, or make a further point at any rate. How much we need God's care. That's a blessing. What a blessing. The care of God. Jacob particularly needed the care of God when Esau, with such a desperately wicked heart, with such a deceitful heart, he was determined to take away Esau's life. He needed this blessing. He needed care. He needed protection. His father couldn't protect. He couldn't do much to protect. He was infirm by this stage in his life. Rebecca couldn't do much to protect. Esau would be too strong for him. He needed the protection of God Almighty. Yes, and he got that. God Almighty blessed. When you see what I'm focusing on or trying to at this stage is the need, and the need that we have of God's protection in many a way. And coming to church and going from church, we need God's care. But you see, over and beyond the various needs we have of God's care and keeping, we need this, that we would be protected from Satan and from those who are doing Satan's work. Peter describes him in chapter 5 of his first epistle. Your adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion. Who is sufficient for a roaring lion? Who is sufficient to defend themselves from a roaring lion, who is seeking whom he may devour? You wouldn't be very comfortable walking in an African savanna and hearing a roaring lion. You'd very much need God's care there. If you hear the lions roaring, and if you cannot hide, if you cannot protect yourself, you need this blessing of God's care. Well, we all need God's care against Satan. his protection. He is able to give that. But we're trying to notice matters in connection with our need of God's blessing. And powerful though Satan is, without a doubt, a roaring lion, whom we, yes, were to resist, but how effective can our resistance be? We need God Almighty. God Almighty. Satan is mighty. He is not almighty. Yes. And we might think of Solomon. And he is taking up a responsible position, a very responsible position, to be king over Israel. And he is asked what he wants from God. Well, what does he want from God? He confesses his need. He confesses his need of God's blessing. He says, I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. In other words, I do not know anything. I do not know what to do, whether I'm on my way out of the palace or whether I'm on my way into the palace to carry out my duties there, going out to carry out my duties, whichever way it is, and however long he might be out, however long he might be in, he's just a little child. As far as carrying out these duties is concerned, is that not how we should be looking in ourselves? I need the help, I need the care, I need the blessing of God Almighty. Yes. And we need to have a continued consciousness of that. There is something altogether admirable, and we can recognize the exercise of grace in his soul at this stage. He went wrong many a time. The roaring lion got a hold of him, and no doubt he was by no means as careful as he should have been. But, you see, he knew sufficient, and it was exercising his mind and heart at this stage for him to say, I need God's blessing. I'm just a little child that needs his parent to watch over. What dangerous things a little child can do, running away, running into danger, not looking where he's going. Oh, is that not true of us? I'm but a little child. Whatever we might be, even a child of God. But if I'm that, we might say, I'm just a little one. So inexperienced, so unskilled, so prone to sin. I need this blessing. I need the blessing of God Almighty. But let us come on to notice that. The blessing itself, that it's the blessing of God Almighty. The blessing of God Almighty. Jacob got that. Many a shortcoming in Jacob's life still. But, you see, is that not the way with sinners, even saved sinners? Many a need spiritually. Many a blunder. Many a shortcoming, and it can all be summed up in this, the need we have of God Almighty. The need, whether we are converted or unconverted, of God Almighty. The thing about the people of God is they have some sense of their need of God Almighty, and they know that God is Almighty. Whether they follow that through in their thinking or not, whether they follow that through as they ought, that's another matter. But, you see, they have the beginning of that, to know that God is Almighty, that it makes sense to seek his blessing. And that's what they tried to do. Now we were thinking of the curse that it lies on everyone who is not keeping the law of God perfectly. Everyone, every such person, not having turned to Christ. But you see, the answer occurs a few verses further on in Galatians 3. Christ is redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, a curse in our place. That's what Paul could say. And with the believers in Galatia, when they heard that epistle read, would they not say, yeah, that's true, that's so true. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Oh, the solemnity that is involved in that. The Son of God being made a curse. The Son of God being made a curse. Yes, being made a curse in our place. Yes. That's what the people of God have a right to say. And that's what they're to be looking for. It's the work of God Almighty. There's this, first of all, that God the Son, the Almighty Son of God, came into the world. And he clothed himself with weakness, you might say. But you see, that person, though he is clothed in weakness, though he is clothed in weakness and human nature in order that he might suffer, he is still Almighty. And these two apparently contradictory things are to be seen in particularly when Christ was on the cross. There he was in weakness. He was suffering even unto death. He was tempted. And the Father used the sword of divine justice to bring him down. He experienced the full punishment of the sins of all his people. You see, he was made a propitiation. He was made a sacrifice that would turn away the anger of God from those he was representing. Yes. A sacrifice. Crucified in weakness, as Paul says. Crucified in weakness. But you see, he was in control of it all. He had, he said beforehand, power to lay down his life, authority to lay down his own life. And he had power, he had authority to take it again. There was power there. It was the Almighty Son of God that was working out redemption for his people, doing so in weakness, in the weakness of his human nature, and working it out in the almightiness of his divine nature. And there is the source of blessing. Whatever blessing we are looking for, and if we are going to God Almighty asking for a blessing, and asking in particular for this blessing of salvation, then it is the Almighty Son of God through whom this salvation can be obtained. And when it pleased God to bring that blessing to Jacob, what we read his own words at the end of his life, when he says, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. God Almighty appeared. Yes. No doubt he is still in his mind the words of his father's blessing. God Almighty blessed thee. And he doesn't forget that. God Almighty appeared to me. He was on his way to Laban and his mother's people, or the rest of his mother's people in Paddan-aram. He was going away because of his sin, because he was party to his mother's idea of deceiving Isaac. But you see, here is another aspect of Almighty God, the aspect of mercy. Mercy. Though Jacob is a sinner and is going into exile from his parental home because of his sins in it, still, there's this, that God appears to him in mercy. He appears to him as Almighty God, but he appears to him as the God of mercy. And oh, what we should be seeking is that when God comes to us, he would be the God who is almighty, but coming to us in the way of mercy. Oh, if it's only in the way of almightiness, can we look to be delivered from the wrath to come? But almightiness mixed with mercy, what a great matter that is. And this is, you see, what we can look for because of how God has revealed himself and because of what he is, that he appears to sinners in the way of mercy. On the basis of what the Almighty Son of God did when he was in this world, is so that sinners would be redeemed from the curse of the law. Yes, and there at Bethel, we use now the name that Jacob gave to the place, meaning the house of God, that Jacob, during his night's sleep, the Lord appeared to him in a vision, and he dreamed. And behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. The angels of God on the ladder. Now, what is the ladder? What are we to understand by the ladder? Well, go to John chapter 1, where the Savior is speaking to Nathanael. And he says, in effect, to Nathanael, I am the ladder that Jacob saw. He told Nathanael that he would see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. The angels of God ascending and descending, coming down with blessings, coming down to do good to sinners. God Almighty sending them to do a work for it. And they're ascending, they're going back to heaven. Well, we say they're going back for blessings for themselves. And certainly, we can say that they're going back to get further blessing for sinners. Though that is the direct blessing of God Almighty also. But God is so often pleased to work through means, through the angels, through other human beings, for instance, moving the hearts of other people to do good to the Lord's people. But you see, there's a great part of this blessing that God Almighty works out himself, and you can think of the almighty gracious influence of the Holy Spirit on the hearts of sinners. Yes. The Holy Spirit blessing the word, giving light, shining light into the hearts of sinners. And it's an almighty power. This is the almighty third person of the God. Almighty God, the Holy Spirit, coming to work in the heart of a sinner. Yes, what a blessing. Coming to make a sinner willing in a day of God's power. Now, what power is needed there? Almighty power to make a sinner willing. A sinner that is a rebel. A sinner that is determined to continue along the broad way and on to destruction. Ignoring the destruction, but determined to make the most of the broad way, however difficult, in fact, it might be. But you see, there's that power, that almighty power that brings a sinner to leave the broad way and enter in by the straight gate, the narrow gate, that leads into the narrow way, which in turn leads on to eternal life. What a bless. What a bless. That's what we should be asking. Oh, many a thing to ask. And Isaac makes it very concise. God Almighty bless thee. Of course, he expands to some extent, make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest multitude of people. He refers to the blessing of Abraham. These were the promises, or some of the promises made to Abraham. And this too, that he would inherit the land wherein he was a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. Yes, but you see, there was the promise at verse 13 in the promise to Abraham repeated to, as it was to Isaac, but here repeated to Jacob. And in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Verse 14 at the end. In thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. In Christ, all the families of the earth were to be blessed. That's it. Where will our blessings come from if we get any real blessings? Where will they come from? From God Almighty, yes. But from God Almighty for the sake of Christ. That's the thing. From God Almighty for the sake of Christ, who made it all possible. When he suffered the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Now, when we have the call of the gospel given to sinners, then if that call is to be made effective, if God Almighty will bless us in connection with the call of the gospel, it will be through the working of the Holy Spirit in the heart of that sinner. Yes. Christ as God Almighty has worked out redemption for sinners. Yes, that is his continuing work as High Priest and as Prophet and King also. And we better not expand on these general ideas just now. But you see, just to say one thing further about Christ, is he continues his work as High Priest, that he is making continual intercession in heaven. And when we ask for a blessing, when we would say, God Almighty, bless me, how does that reach the ear of God in heaven? It's through the intercession of God the Son. The almighty, all-prevailing intercession on the basis of what he did in this world. That's how the prayer is made. You can say that Christ took Isaac's prayer. May God Almighty bless. He took Isaac's prayer and presented it before his father. Yes. And when say a parent today says in connection with a son or a daughter, may God Almighty bless that child. Yes, it's for the sake of Christ. And oh, if that petition is to be fulfilled, and we should pray in the belief that if we ask, we will be heard. If we seek, we shall find. If we knock, the Lord will open. But you see, if that prayer for a child is to be heard, it's on this basis that Christ takes that petition and presents it in his intercession before the Father. In other words, on the basis of what he did in this world. Yes, now I was mentioning the Holy Spirit taking the truth and applying it to the hearts of sinners, applying it with almighty power to the hearts of sinners. Now take the call of the gospel in these words just now, that Christ is saying, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And how often that call is given without effect, or whatever call of the gospel it might be. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But you see, let that call be applied by almighty power. Let that call be applied to the heart of the sinner who is called to look to Christ, who is called to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let that call be applied by the Holy Spirit, the almighty Holy Spirit. And it has an effect. There is a powerful, an almighty drawing of that sinner to Christ. An almighty drawing. Now that's what we need. And if we have looked to Christ, if we have believed in him already, if that was where the power came from. And the people of God themselves need to hear that call. And need to obey that call. And they might feel their weakness and lack of response. But you see, they can pray for this in connection with obedience to the call of the gospel. And that is that they would say, God Almighty bless me. God Almighty give power, almighty power. With the call of the gospel over and over again, that I would be looking unto Jesus, that I would go on my way, looking unto Jesus. Yes. But also, that the Lord, God Almighty, would be blessing the word, would be blessing the call of the gospel to those who are out of the kingdom of God, or those who feel themselves out of the kingdom of God, whether that may be the case or not. But you see, what helped it would be to them to feel the call of the gospel applied with power to their souls, to be consciously aware of the call of the gospel being brought home to their souls with power, and in some measure being given a grace through this almighty power, so that they would actually look to Christ. Now, there's much more that could be said. And you see, if we think of Jacob's need, his need of God Almighty's care, then there was a promise of that in particular. At verse 15, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. God Almighty was to go with him, and God Almighty would bring him back again. And if we think of the power of Satan, then let us just put this over against it just now. God Almighty, in the person of the Son, that for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, just take that generally just now. We don't have time to apply it in detail. But all these powerful works of the evil one in his temptation, in his leading sinners astray and bringing them into his kingdom and keeping them there, God Almighty is able to bring down that kingdom. God Almighty is able to bring sinners out of it through the Word, by the Holy Spirit, by the Almighty Holy Spirit. Yes, able to destroy the works of the devil. Yes. Oh, how we might ask, how we should ask. May God Almighty bless this generation. May God Almighty bless his church in all its weakness, that the adversary is going about to destroy. And we should be very conscious of these words in Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman watcheth but in vain. Yes. But if the Lord Almighty will keep the city, if the Lord Almighty will build it up, there will be nothing done in vain. And as far as the weakness of the church in our time, and as far as the strength of Satan's kingdom is concerned, what we need is God Almighty bless the church. He is able, nothing too hard for him, to bring the most unlikely sinners into that kingdom. And whatever we need, as far as the care of God is concerned, one might sum it up in the words at the end of 2 Corinthians 6. I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That the one who reveals himself as a father, that he is almighty, he is almighty. What hope, what encouragement that should give the people of God. That the one who is their father is the Lord Almighty. Now, quite briefly, perhaps very briefly, the question that was to be the third head, and that is, who are so blessed? Yes. And if we think of Jacob, as you have it recorded in verse 21, then shall the Lord be my God. We'll not deal with the context just now. But you see, if that's his desire, that the Lord Almighty would be a God to him and to his seed after, if his desire is, and if your desire is that the Lord Almighty, the God of mercy, who has revealed himself in Christ Jesus as the one who did so much, who did everything that was necessary for the salvation of sinners. And the Holy Spirit who applies the truth savingly to sinners. If this God would be my God, if that's your desire, surely you are one who has begun to experience his blessing. But again, what you have in Psalm 128, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in his ways. Fearing the Lord, what's that? It's that holy resolve to be obedient to God, a holy respect for God and for his commands. Yes. Blessed is everyone that fears the Lord. Have we got a desire, not only outwardly, but inwardly, to be obedient to God? Well, that's the fear of God. That's the desire to go in the ways that he has appointed. And yes, the people of God will be conscious of that. The people of God will be conscious that they need grace, but it's the grace of God Almighty. And if ever far Solomon, so to speak, wandered out of the way that he had taken as his way, still God Almighty was able to bring him back. And he was led to the conclusion of the whole matter in these terms: fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Looking back on a life which wasn't, if I can put it like that, all that it might have been, all that we might wish it was, still, you see, he has the fear of God in his heart. And it's the conclusion of the whole matter. As he has surveyed his life, what is he to say? What does he think is most relevant to pass on to others after? It's this: let us fear God and keep his commandments. It's the whole duty of man. And God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And we had in Psalm 1 the blessedness. Who is the blessed man? Who is the blessed woman? Well, it's the one that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, who does not stand in the way of sinners, who does not sit in the seat of the scorner, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, seeking to think over these things that are in the law of God, these things, if you take it like that just now, these things that are in the Word of God, wherever they are, whatever they're about, but especially the things that are connected with the salvation of a sinner and the basis on which that salvation rests. Yes, blessed is that man. That's the divine pronouncement. And there's nothing to be found amiss in that. There's nothing that's to be found amiss in the whole Word of God. How worthy it is for our meditation. And blessed are they who are seeking to meditate on it. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord. May we get good from what we were trying to consider. Thou art able to bless us. Thou art able to apply the truth to our souls. Thou art God Almighty. May we not meet with thee in judgment, but in mercy. Grant that we would understand thy word. Grant that we would receive it. Grant that the Holy Spirit with almighty power would apply the truths of Scripture to our souls. May the truth be applied this evening. May every one of us be blessed with spiritual blessings, being delivered from the power of that powerful one that goes about seeking and we may devour. Give us thy care and protection in every way. May we walk in thy fear, and may thy cause be blessed. O Lord, may we look to thee as God Almighty in relation to thy cause and its present weakness, but grant that thou wouldst appear in thy glory and in thy majesty to do wonderful things. O, hear us graciously and love us freely. Bless us, each one of us. Bless all connected with us. Bless thy cause connected with us, wherever it is represented. Bless thy cause in this place. Bless us here as a congregation. May we get good. Oh, may each of us be seeking the blessing of thy blessing as God Almighty. Watch over us this evening. Watch over us always. Prepare us for eternity. Wash away our sin. Make us thankful. Keep us from evil. Keep our hearts. For Jesus' sake, amen.